Welcome to Travelitch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm Dan Schlossberg, along with my longtime friend and broadcast partner, Maggie Linton.
And this is the 277th episode of Travelitch Radio. Every week at 8 p.m. East, we interview hoteliers, transportation executives, city, state, national, tourism officials, authors, writers, broadcasters, and others involved in the world of travel.
And our special guest tonight is Flash Phelps, the morning man on Sirius XM Channel 60s on 6. Welcome, Flash, to Travelitch Radio.
Oh, man, it's so nice to be here. And, you know, I've met you before, Dan, and Maggie, I've worked with you for years.
Oh, yeah. And you're always great to have around. As Flash has said, he and I have been old friends from our days at Sirius XM. In fact, we were original XMers, XM Satellite Radio. And Flash runs the best, great morning show and often talks about places he's been, where, when, and did you catch the travel bug, Flash?
Yeah, when the travel bug started for me when I was a kid, I wasn't able to travel a whole lot, but my dad had made sure. He said, "Did you want to go with your sister? She's a pro duck pin bowler." And those of you in the East know what duck pin is. And we had to go to Rhode Island. So I went to New York City for the first time when I was 14 years old. And then when I got back, I said, "Man, that was fun." And my dad said, "Where would you want to go next?" And I said, "Hollywood." And he laughed. And I had been there when I was 1 and a half, so I didn't remember it. And the next year, I was 16 years old, and he said, "We're going to Hollywood." It felt like American Idol. So I go to Hollywood with him, and I get to see Southern California, and I'm a big roller coaster rider, so I'm out at Knott's Berry Farm and Disney, and then going even down to SeaWorld and over to Magic Mountain. So that's what started my whole travel bug. And from then on, I just wanted to go everywhere. And then I got into radio, and I wanted to tape all radio stations across the United States. So I went to every single market. It took me a long time, but I eventually made it. So there you go. That's what started the travel bug.
That's amazing.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. And when Maggie introduced me to you in your studio, Flash, I immediately noticed a large map of the U.S. covered with multicolored pushpins. Would you explain what those colors represent?
Yeah, well, I have multicolors because it came in there, but I had a map, and I wanted to mark where colors were coming from as we were national and serving 48 states, and as we found out, into the 49th, and we did get some out in Hawaii that were able to pick it up on boats. So I started putting pushpins in that were dark for where people lived. If they were traveling the roads on the interstates or the byways, I put in the whites or yellows. So the whole map ended up getting so full, I needed a bigger map. And then I just ran out of doing it. Now it's just impressive to look. Here's where our listeners were up until about 2004. And every once in a while, I'll go and put one on if there's something very unique where somebody calls from. But that's how the map's set up.
And are you a world traveler or just primarily an advocate of See America First?
Well, I ended up going more into America. But I'll tell you what, in the very beginning, I wanted to go, as I was telling you about taping all the radio stations, I was into hearing what was going on with English-speaking radio. So going into Canada, and then I said, you know what, I want to go to Australia. So I flew all the way to Australia, and I taped all the radio up and down from Brisbane, and then drove down all the way to Sydney, and then into Adelaide, into Melbourne. And when I got into Melbourne, I heard from one of the guys at the radio station, said, "Come on by." I got to go on the radio station on 3MMM in Melbourne, and I did about 5 minutes, and the video is even on my Facebook site, so you can watch me on the air there. And then I went up in to see Uluru, which is Ayers Rock, and then came back to Adelaide, and then came back. So that was a great one. And then when I got back, somebody said, "You didn't go to New Zealand?" Well, what did I do? I turned right around and went right back to New Zealand the next year, and did the North Island and the South Island, down to Queensland. And so I love New Zealand. I love New Zealand even more than I loved Australia. So after that, I said, now where do I want to go? Well, English-speaking places, all of the UK. So I did an entire map of all the radio stations across the UK, from Scotland to Wales, all the way through England, and I went and taped all of them and drove them. Then I flew over to the Republic of Ireland, went to Dublin, did an entire loop into Northern Ireland, into Belfast, and then came back down, and that was a two-week trip. So that was one of the cooler things. I went to Bermuda to hear that. That was all in English. And then just going from one place to another, I went to Hong Kong at one point. I did Japan and did Tokyo radio. One cool thing about Tokyo radio, their FM radio station started 76 FM. Now, if you buy a radio here, it starts at 88.1 or 87.9. Well, all their radio stations commercially are from 76 FM to 90. Well, you can't get them on our radio if you take it there.
Yeah.
So I had to go buy a radio once I got to the airport at Narita, and I did. And they have some English-speaking things. And then I got on the radio in Guam. And then I got on the radio in the Commonwealth of the Northern Marianas Islands. So now I had covered Guam, Northern Marianas Islands. I now wanted to do Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Well, I ended up getting a job in the U.S. Virgin Islands. I worked there 3 years, serving Vieques and Culebra, the islands out to the east of Puerto Rico, and Roosevelt Roads and over to Fajardo. So I got to be on that radio station for 3 years, serving those territories. The one I was missing was American Samoa, and I decided just 3 weeks ago to fly all the way down to American Samoa. The radio station, 93KHJ, put me on the air, and I completed all of America by going to every one of the territories, getting on a radio station in every one, and also on SiriusXM covering into the 50. So I think I may be one of the only people that's been on a radio station that served every one of the U.S. states and all territories.
Amazing.
You know, you mentioned Bermuda Radio. I remember something odd about Bermuda Radio that really struck me when I was there. The traffic report is preceded by the music for Hawaii 5-0, the theme song. Why would they play that in Bermuda?
I don't know. I did hear Hawaii 5-0 when I was in Honolulu. They did play. Here's a good one. I worked with a guy named Cousin Brucey. Did you know Cousin Brucey's first radio station he worked for was Bermuda? I was amazed. Here's a guy who's very big in New York City radio for many, many years, but how many knew that he worked in Bermuda, ZBM?
Only you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And Flash, since your show originates in Washington, how do you find time for all the travel you do?
I know that
luckily,
but go ahead, Flash.
Yeah, Maggie would know this because she would always say, number one, I would see Maggie on Monday, and first thing Maggie would say to me was, hey, where'd you go this weekend? And remember, I would always give you answers that were like, you just did that for the weekend? It's like, oh, yeah, it was only 600 miles out and 600 miles back. So overall, that would just be a weekend. So if you consider that's 52 days, so 104 of my days sometimes are spent just traveling then. And then I get 27 days a year, and then I also work on the holidays, and I put them all together. So I'll sit there and celebrate Thanksgiving, the day after, New Year's Day, MLK Day, President's Day, all in a week. That's how I do it. I defer them. And next thing I know, I have 100 days of travel. So I try to go as far as I can and see something I didn't see, take photos with it, and come back. And then I have things to talk about in areas where people listen to me. So that's kind of how I do it.
Yeah, presidential birthplaces and everything else.
Yes.
Well, the odometer on your car, and I know you've had just a few, shows more than 300,000 miles on it. So what kind of car is that works so well for so long? And I know you keep them in good shape.
Yeah. Let me update you because the 300,000 was 2 years ago. That was right before I started all 50 of 50. It went to 300,000 when I was in Missouri 2 years ago. Well, I averaged 80,000 miles. Last summer, I was in Maine up at Katahdin, and it turned to 400,000. So then right now, on my way to work just yesterday during the snow, it turned 439,000 miles. So
amazing.
It's still great. And by the way, the car, I call it a Honda palindrome. And most know a palindrome is the same forward and backwards. So they say, you drive a Honda race car? No, not a race car, a Civic. So in 2001, when I came to XM, they said, man, with all the driving you do, you should get a Civic or something with Honda. It'll keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And they were right, and I ended up getting it, and I love it. I don't know if I'm going to get a half a million, but it's doing great.
Yeah. Well, do you travel by train, plane, boat, bus, or motorcycle, or a combination of all of them?
Okay, as we know, most of it's in the car. The 80,000 is there. When I fly, it's got to be somewhere where I need to get west of the Rocky Mountains. So,
well, it's also someplace where you can't drive till you get there.
Yeah, and so once I get there, then I have to rent a car. So sometimes I'll do these trips where I'll rent four and five cars. When I went to American Samoa, I ended up having to rent four cars, one in San Francisco, one in Honolulu, one in American Samoa, and then one again in Hawaii, and then came back. So I end up with all these different rental cars because I island hop that way. But and an example, if I fly to Las Vegas, I'll decide, well, where's the weather good? Because I don't want to go get a bad photograph. let's say right now I just flew to Las Vegas. Do I want to go to California? No, there's too much rain going in there. I would look at where's the high pressure system. Maybe it's over right now in Arizona or New Mexico. I'll head that way. So that way I get the better photos, and I try to circle knowing what day I'd have to get back to the airport. So the last time I went out to Vegas, I went all the way to the Four Corners. Bad weather was towards Colorado. I turned around, went back to Phoenix. I skirted out, and California had great weather, went to San Diego, and then I said, you know what, I'm going to go all the way to Reno. And I went Reno all the way back to Bishop and then right back down through the Death Valley area and then back into Vegas, and I made it back to the airport with 2 hours to spare. So that's the kind of driving I like doing after I fly. But my flights are usually west of the Rockies. I'll drive if it's anything between here and there. With the train, I have to take it every day to get to work, so I don't do any of the real train trips. With the boat, I'll do a little of these boat trips where I can't get to a certain place. Like I love Terry's Victory Monument, which is in Ohio. It's at Put-in Bay. So if you go over into northern Ohio, in between Toledo and in Cleveland, you can take the speedboat out. Or I'll take a speedboat out to Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard or Block Island. So when I get to do some of these boat trips, one of my favorites was the Kenai Fjords. So I was in Anchorage, drove down to Sword, where a lot of the cruise ships end up pulling in if you do a cruise to Alaska. And then I did the whole boat trip that was about 8 hours long, and it went through the fjords. And that was one of my favorite boat trips. So I do love those.
Well, you, Flash, you're just amazing, and I can't tell you how often, you know, I'd get there early in the morning, and you will have just gotten up from your car because you drove straight into work from one of your trips. So that's a little secret for everybody. But you always have a city of the day. So where'd you get the idea for how to pick it from day to day?
What I do is I listen to what's going on in the news. So when I wake up, I'll listen. If there's a famous death, I'll say, okay, what was that person's name? Let me search the database to see, is there a city with that name? So I'll give you an example. Like earlier today, we were getting ready to start Sweet 16 for the last teams to play in the NCAA basketball. So I said, is there a city called Sweet? Yeah, there's Sweet Home, and you'll find that, and you'll find Sweet Grass. But is there one just called Sweet? Well, I looked it up, and then I found out, I did find one that was called Sweet. And when I ended up finding that, it was in Idaho. And I said, you know what? 1 week ago, and this is how I came up with a clue. I said, 1 week ago, the tournament was going on in Boise, Idaho, and Sweet is just to the north. So I was able to come up with clues about where were the NCAA games 1 week ago today. So it made people scramble to remember which cities they were in. Then, so they had a choice of four states, and then they go ahead and try to figure out. And I said it's the name of the 16 teams, and people know it's Sweet 16. So that's how they look. So I put together the clues by way of what's happening. If it isn't something in the news that I can find, I then resort to a famous birthday in the past or a historical. And if not that, I really am out of choices. But I've got to make up something. And sometimes I have to do it within about 5 minutes and put the clue online. So I have fun with that every day.
Yeah. And speaking of the city of the day, so often there's some place where you have also visited, too.
Yeah. Some of them, most of them I usually had not because they're so weird. Like you'll see Sweet Idaho, and it's like, where in the world is that? And I look, I make sure it's on the Rand McNally map and go, I've been to Boise. I've been to Nampa and Caldwell. And so I've been in that area. And then also it's like, I have not been in Sweet. But I'll tell you what, next time I go out there and I'm anywhere close, I may take a photo of myself in front of that sign that says the name of that place. So that's I get to learn more about it, and so do the listeners as to, wow, I never knew that existed. But, and I try to take as many pictures as I can and come back and have them labeled so well. And I also do a thing called Photo of the Day where I'll search for whatever my photo should be. Like yesterday was the anniversary of 53 years ago, the march from Selma to Montgomery. So when I was down at Selma and the Edmund Pettus Bridge, I had photos of me on the bridge. I had Irvin Lowndes County. They have a museum. So I put a photo of that up. And so every day I'll put up a different photo, and you can see that on Facebook on Flash Helps Funding Farm.
Well, Flash, you know, you mentioned Idaho. When I think about Idaho, I think about potatoes. So it must be Sweet Potato, Idaho.
They really could be. Did you know you can find the world's largest potato in Blackfoot, Idaho? So the next time you're riding between Salt Lake City and you're going north, you come to Pocatello, you want to get off I-15, you want to get to Blackfoot, head into town, and you can see the world's largest potato. And by the way, it's a baked potato is the way they made it, because you can see the butter coming out of the top. and it does face to the west, so your best photo is going to be in the evening when the sun's shining on it. So, and then from there, you might as well go over to the Tetons and up into Yellowstone. So there are things like that that I'll tell people about that they'll go, I had no idea that I could see the world's largest potato there, or I could see the giant beagle in northern Idaho. So there's certain things about each state I will tell listeners about it, and they'll look them up, and I get people that say, I'm writing down these things in a notebook so I know where to go.
That's great. That's really, you're promoting travel, and that's great. And I want to tell our listeners that you're listening to Travel with Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Maggie Linton. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travel with Radio on Facebook. We're also on iTunes. Maggie?
And we're talking with Flash Phelps of SiriusXM Channel 60 on 6. And so glad to be talking with him today. Dan.
Our listeners and yours, Flash, would love to know about your favorite places, destinations, hotels, restaurants, and airlines, not to mention highways since you're always on the road. Care to share?
Oh, I have enough of those. Well, I'll tell you what, I went to Maine when I was very young, and after I got into Maine, I'll tell you, Acadia is always one of my favorite places to go. I did talking about a boat trip. I did one over the Dry Tortugas, which many go to Key West, but don't take the boat trip or the flight to the Dry Tortugas to see Fort Jefferson. That's one of my favorites. It's 2 hours, 45 minutes to the west of Key West. That's great. I love, obviously, Siesta Key, one of the best beaches. I usually am down there at Christmas. I'm a big fan of the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That is one of my favorite areas, as well as the Delta. I've even thought about, I'd like to buy down there and even live in that area. So that's one of my favorites. One place I usually go almost every year are the Black Hills of South Dakota. And I love getting out there because, number one, I love Mount Rushmore, but there's something about that area, just the way the hills pop up, and you have Sturgis and Devil's Tower. And I'd seen Close Encounters when I was a kid, and after I saw that, I wanted to go. So when I was 19 years old, I went the first time, but I'll always go back and see that. That's one of my favorites. I obviously enjoy the Bay Area and San Francisco and the views out there, so I'll do that. Southern Utah is one of my favorite places because of all the parks that are in there. And the one park most people miss, because they see Arches and Bryce and they go to Zion, but the one a lot of people miss is Capitol Reef. And I think Capitol Reef is one of the best parks in southern Utah. So do look that up if you've never driven over there and try to get it on a sunny day to be able to see those red rocks just standing straight up. So that's one of my favorites. Another one of my favorite trips was, talk about a drive, was the Alcan. In 2006, I decided to drive all the way to Alaska, and I got flew out to Seattle, rented a car, didn't tell them where I was going. They said I could take it into Canada, and they didn't say I couldn't take it all the way to Anchorage, so I did. And they laughed at me when I got to customs, and I said, I'm driving. They go, in this, you're going to drive all the way to Alaska? Yeah. And I drove the Alcan. It was one of the greatest trips I had taken, and I had only gotten into Anchorage. I drove the Kenai, turned around, and I came back down the inside way where you're closer to the Pacific, and I went to Hyder, Alaska. Hyder in southeast Alaska is the furthest southern city in Alaska you can drive into, because you can't drive to Ketchikan, you can't drive to Juneau, you can drive to Skagway, but you got to go to further up. And so Hyder, we had a listener that was from Hyder, and he ended up being from Minnesota originally. He took his radio with him, and he said, you can get the signal up here. So he was listening, and I went by, and he ended up cooking me up some steaks, and I went right back to Canada, and I took a great road called the Sea to Sky Highway, which comes down right into Vancouver, and this was right before the Olympics, so that was about 4 years prior. The Olympics were there in 2010. So that's one of my favorite roads. I obviously loved riding out to Key West just to do all the bridges. I like riding US 2 across the UP of Michigan. They're going to the Sun Road, the Glacier National Park. The worst part about that is they get so much snow, they can't get it open until the end of June. And then last year they had fires very early, so they had to close it. It didn't stay open that long. So those are some of my favorites to be able to get out and see America or wherever it is. So there you go. There's a little of what I've done.
Yeah, well, you know, I know you love America, and so many people are busy going to another country, but they need to see this one too. So you've just given us some of your favorites. What are some you'd rather not be returning to?
See, now that's a hard one, because I hate putting a place down. I remember when Steve Martin did that, and he was asked that question, and he said Terre Haute, Indiana, and he got in so much trouble for saying Terre Haute. And so You know what he actually made me do? He made me want to go to Terre Haute because he said he didn't like it. So I went to Terre Haute, and that was a story. But I tell you what, there aren't many places in America I don't like. The reason I would not go back to a place is usually because there's so many more places I want to see. And it's like, well, you know, I've already been there. I want to go do something different. So there are the places I do like to return into, but as for seeing a place and going, I wouldn't want to ever see that again. I can't even say that there is one because there is something. I've been able to find something interesting in all these places. And some will say, that's flyover country, nothing to see. Oh, if you look, you can find some beautiful places and places where you didn't even know existed by following your roads. I would follow Roadside America. Great app. There's another great app that's all about presidents that they have, and I can find all these presidential places across America. So that's what I end up loving, is just seeing places I like.
Yeah, I like finding the little hideaway restaurants, too, that the locals go to. That's always fun. So, okay, so you just mentioned it. How many? Where do you still want to go? Because I know you always surprised me.
Yeah, you know what I have not gone to is Newfoundland. And that's one, it's in an hour and a half off time zone. I've been to Nova Scotia. I've been to New Brunswick. So when I talk about the Canadian places I haven't been, so it would be, I've been to the Yukon, but I have not been to the Northwest Territories. You can drive there, so maybe I'll do that. I have not been to Manitoba, and that's just right above the Minnesota and North Dakota line. So I definitely will do that one and go to Winnipeg. And then maybe Nunavut someday, but definitely in Newfoundland is one I want to see. So there's some of the ones. There's some of the Caribbean islands I'd like to see. I've never been to South America or Africa, and I've always wanted to go to Cape Town. So maybe Cape Town someday. And I don't know if I'd ever do Antarctica, but I'm still trying to complete some parts of America that I have 42 places. I have a list, and there's 42 places in America I'm still trying to see, and I keep adding to the list, so it never keeps going down. That's where I am now.
Well, Flash, I'm glad you mentioned Newfoundland because a couple of weeks ago we had as a guest Captain Beverly Bass, who was actual American Airlines pilot who was one of 58 jumbo jets grounded in Gander, Newfoundland right after 9/11. And she talked all about the hospitality that was bestowed upon her and her passengers. And that has now become part of the show Come From Away, which is celebrating its one-year anniversary this month, actually. And it's a musical, and she's depicted in that show, Captain Beverly Bass. So it's really worth seeing if you see that show.
Oh, I have to remember that, because if you take that boat ride, you can fly in and get there quicker, but that boat ride over from Sydney, Nova Scotia, seems to be a long one. It was about 8 hours, 9 hours, and people get a room on the boat to be able to get over there and take your car over. So I'm not sure which way I'll do it, but I'll definitely do it during the summer. It will not be any winter trip.
Definitely do the summer.
Flash, all of us who travel a lot have funny stories and a few embarrassing ones. Do you have any you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I've seen things that Ripley's wouldn't even believe of some of these. So I get some of my stories are usually police involved actually wondering what in the world I'm doing. Because here I am carrying around a tripod around the city. So I was taking a picture in Atlanta of the Georgia Dome, which no longer exists. And after I did the selfie with me, somebody called me into the police. So by the time I got back to my car, the police were there asking me why I was taking pictures of the Georgia Dome. And after they did that, they were like, oh, we're going to check you out. I said, well, I've taken pictures of everything here in Atlanta. And they were like, okay, you can go. And then I had another weird one. I was in Holbrook, Arizona, and all of a sudden I see a cop way behind me. He has his lights on. I pull. I think he's got to go by me. He then pulls over behind me, and he comes up to the window, and he said, okay, I got to tell you, the two people that are standing next to you on the pavement are monitoring what I'm doing right now. And he's whispering this so they won't hear it. So he was under a test, and he had to just pull over anybody. So I was the random pullover. Then he had to figure out what it was. So he doesn't tell me why I'm being pulled over. Oh, I need to see your license. I said, well, there's a rental car as well. Oh, I need to see that. And he takes it back, and he comes out and he goes, I need you to get out of the car. I was like, he didn't even tell me what I've done. Now I get out of the car and I'm standing there with the other people that are watching everything he's doing. He goes, you have your GPS to the right of the steering wheel. Uh-huh. He said, that's against the law here in the state of Arizona. It is? He goes, well, I'm just going to give you a warning. Your GPS needs to be to the left of the steering wheel. I'm like, oh, gosh, this is the craziest thing. So I got pulled over because the GPS was to the right of the steering wheel. And then when I looked at this warning that he wrote up, he said I was doing 70 and a 70. Where I was pulled over was on I-40, but it was on Route 66. I don't know if this guy passed his test or not. Because he didn't mark anything right on the thing. And then I had another one. I was in Las Vegas, and the security guy is on a bike. He was one of the bike cops, and he said, you're not allowed to take a picture of the casino. All the people here in Las Vegas, you can only take a picture of the Las Vegas sign. But I was like, he goes, because you're a professional. I said, I'm not a professional. If I had a professional, I'd have a big camera, one of these SLRs. I go, this camera's no more than $150. I'm doing a selfie. No, you're a professional. And he kept on saying I was a professional. Why, I don't know. I don't know if that was a compliment or not, but I just let him go. But you know what I did? I asked him, I said, where are you from? He said, Roanoke. I said, oh, let me tell you about the star on top. I said, I told him about the Mill Mountain Star. And then all of a sudden, I related to him locally. And then next thing you know, he's like, I got to get away from this guy because he keeps talking to me. So I had to go ride around the parking lot and bother somebody else.
And the guy we're talking to, is Flash Phelps. Flash, we're getting short on time, so you have to tell us about the horse named Flash Phelps. Flash does the 60s on 6 every morning on Sirius XM Channel 6. 60s on 6. Go ahead, Flash.
Yeah, I made a comment that I wanted to have a horse with my name. Dave Rodman, who's the guy who calls the horse races at Laurel Park, Laurel, Maryland, heard that I said it. And he got in touch with me. He said, do you really want a horse with your name? He said, I know a breeder. Her name's Carol. So he got hold of Carol, and he said, what do you think about Flash Phelps? She liked it. They put it in, and it became official. Well, the horse got bought by Ellen Charles, and Ellen Charles then put it in the run. And next thing you know, he won. He was the turf horse race of the year of 2 years ago in the state of Maryland. So he's won a number of races. He got really good, and it was all because – I made a comment on the air, I'd like to have a horse race, or a horse show with my name, and it happened.
That's amazing. Well, our listeners have learned a lot from you. And since we started out together, did you ever believe that Sirius XM would begin and end with 30 million listeners when we originally started with 150 people?
It is incredible. I remember the day I went in, it was 13 months before it went on the air. And I got the beta tested during the summer of 2001, and I drove my car to New York City, and I was looking at the World Trade Center and going, wow, I am now heard in New York City by way of, I may be the only one, but I can hear myself coming from a satellite into New York. And then by the time we were signing on the air, the World Trade Centers weren't even there anymore, and what a tragic time. But I ended up just couldn't believe we went from zero subscribers. My first paid customer called from Dodger Stadium. He was right there on the 110, and after that, little by little, we got more and more. It took us 2 years to get 100,000 subscribers, and the next thing you know, now I can't keep up with my 11 phone lines that ring and my emails from everywhere.
Yeah. Dan, you better close it out, babe.
Okay, Flash, real quick, how did your nickname develop, and tell us your real name.
Yeah, well, Gordon Phelps, actually, when I grew up, it's a wild story because everybody, as you know, when you have a name like Gordon, you know, they think, are you Alf or are you Flash Gordon? And then it worked out. And so Phlash and my last name, Phelps. So I switched that. And then I heard the word funny farm at one point. I said, that's it. I'm going to name my show Phlash, which is Flash Helps Funny Farm, and did it all with PHs. And then I spell things with PHs. If it's Frankie Valley, Phrankie Valley. If it's the Fat Four Fix, Phubphix. So I put all PHs into the show to let people know, hey, I spell my name Flash Phelps with PHs. Probably because of the whole Flash Gordon thing.
Okay, thank you so much, Flash. Our special guest tonight has been Flash Phelps of SiriusXM Channel 60s on 6. Thanks for being on Travel with Radio with us.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and that's it for this edition of Travel with Radio. Tune in again next week, same time, same station. We'll be checking out Glenwood Hot Springs Resort in the Colorado Rockies. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with Maggie Witten and Flash Phelps, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.